Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 852. Topic is nutrition, and the title is Food Complexity Effects on Body Composition. Okay, so we're going to get a little bit into the details. I typically actually stay away from the details because most people don't need the details. They just need to do the big things better. They need to drink more fluid throughout the day, eat more of their food throughout the day so it's less at night, and just kind of understanding portions, understanding the roles of what nutrition plays, why do we want protein, what does it do for us, and those things. So if you've listened to any of our nutrition podcasts, I've probably just beat you to death with the basics. And today I wanted to get a little bit more into details, and I love this stuff as well because there are people who need the details. Like I said, most people just need to do the basics better. Eat more during the day, eat less at night. Just kind of all the things that we preach about, focusing on calorie intake rather than something being organic or inorganic or whether it matches your blood type. those kind of crazy diets. Carbs are awesome. They're amazing. Quit blaming carbs and doing keto diets, thinking you can avoid carbs your whole life. So we've talked about all that basic stuff. What I want to do today is talk about food complexity, and I want to talk about it in regards to body composition. The reason why this came up is I have helped people earn pro cards in bodybuilding competitions in tested and non-tested federations. So that means the tested, you can get away with more things because you can take more things to help you, but you have to work your ass off to maximize those things. So taking quote-unquote drugs does not make it easier to do bodybuilding. You can have greater, more extreme effects, but you still have to do all of the work to make the drugs actually do anything, and often they have to do extra bits of work to maximize the drug usage. So, for example, if you take a drug that allows you to recover faster from workouts, you now have to work out more. You have to work out to a higher volume, higher intensity, more frequency to maximize that. So you wouldn't just train your normal amount, then take the drugs. That'd be a waste of drugs. So there are people who take those things and they want to maximize those. And then there are people who do it natural and they want to maximize just their natural ability. Food complexity plays a role in both processes, both categories of people. So this is something that I have used this concept in way greater detail than we're going to get into in a podcast, but we've used this concept to maximize people's aesthetics to get them pro cards, where they're getting on stage with every ounce of every, fat gone that they can get, every muscle they could build, every percentage, little nuanced thing that we could control. We controlled the hell out of it because there's so many things you can't control. So food complexity is great. Now, it, like I said, is really, really, really important for people who want to get pro cards, who want to maximize every ounce of their aesthetic. But this is also important for people who just want to look good on a regular basis, because if you're watery, and you're not as, if your muscles aren't as full as they can be, if you have more water retention than you need, you will not look as good as you could at any body fat percentage. Now, if you're at 30% plus of body fat percentage, it doesn't really matter much because you won't be able to really see these effects. But it can make you feel good if you do these things. You'll feel a little better throughout the day. We'll talk about that in a second. So this is something that can motivate you and continue your process of fat loss. If somebody's in the 20%, like percent body fat, you'll see some effects from this, but more so, again, you're going to feel it. If you're under 20, then yes, you're going to start to see the effects. If you're under 10%, you're going to absolutely see these effects big time. So what does this come from? One of the questions I often get, whether people are dieting for competitions or not, is can I use shakes and protein bars instead of real food? Now, real food, they just mean things that are not protein shakes and not protein bars. So for example, meat. Can they use a protein shake rather than eating a chicken breast? And the answer is no, not at all. They are not equal. They do not end up looking the same. Now, if you get 20 grams of protein from a protein bar, you get 20 grams of protein from a chicken breast, you're still getting 20 grams of protein. But not all proteins are created equal. There is a difference. And there's a lot of difference in regards to digestion. And the digestion rate of food has a huge effect on our overall aesthetics. So, for example, liquid protein powder, protein powder when put into liquid, which then turns it into a protein shake, that digests much faster than a chicken breast, where your body has to actually break down the fibers of the food and the big molecules and do all the work to break it down into what it needs. It's much better to eat foods that are higher in complexity than it is the quick and easy foods. Now, quick and easy foods are great in case of emergencies. You know, what do you do if you're crammed and you can't get in what you should have? Well, then yes, a protein shake and a protein bar are great. But should they be regular parts of your diet? No. I have clients all the time who work their ass off in the gym, but they eat these kind of shortcut foods and they wonder why they don't look their best. It's because you're shortcutting the food. Training provides the stimulus for change. It is through sleep and food that we actually create the changes. So if you're training your ass off, but you're doing half-ass on the food, you're going to get half-ass changes. You're going to have all the stimulus for change, but you're only going to make half the changes possible. So don't shortchange your food. Don't take shortcuts. Don't do all these baby whiny shit and rather than actually doing the real stuff. So it's not the end of the world to have to cook a couple extra things so you can have solid whole foods throughout the day rather than doing quick shakes and bars and stuff like that. So if you truly want the result, you're going to put in the little extra nuances of effort. So for example, in the morning when I cook food for Meredith and myself, I'll cook big batches of it. I cook, you know, maybe a pound and a half, 2 pounds of beef or 2 pounds of chicken. And then I'll put like microwavable rice because it's quick and easy and I don't have to clean the damn the rice cooker. So I'll cook microwavable rice at each meal. And I'll have the chicken from earlier cooked in the day, so I can cook 2 pounds of chicken while I'm cooking her breakfast and doing all the other odds and ends I do in the morning, and then I'll have chicken for the entire rest of the day. So if you're going to cook something in the morning, cook enough for the whole damn day. If you're cooking once, cook more than one meal. So if you cook supper tonight, make extra portions of it and use that for tomorrow's lunch. If you say you don't have time to eat, it's because you're not taking the time to eat. You can argue with me, you can tell me whatever bullshit special schedule that you have to live that no one else on the planet would ever understand. That's all bullshit. If you want it, you'll do it. End of the story. So, what we want to look through today, now that I just pissed off everybody and everybody probably just shut the podcast off, but is food complexity is significant. You can reduce water retention. And you can increase overall energy throughout the day. So let's look at this. An example of what I'm talking about. An example of a poor complexity meal would be, say, peanut butter and crackers. Peanut butter is going to get you, you know, the protein that has, it has way more fats in it. And it has about as much carbohydrates as it has protein. But people will use protein for peanut butter. And then they're going to put it on crackers, which is carbohydrates. So they're going to say, I had protein and carbohydrates. That's what you said in the meal should have, protein and carbohydrates. That way I can be fueled for my workout. Well, that's not actually a really good choice because there's a shit ton of fat in there. And a better choice would be chicken breast and rice. Chicken breast is a lean protein source, and the rice is a more complex carbohydrate that's going to last a little longer, fill your muscles up better. You're going to feel better from the meal of chicken breast and rice than you will from peanut butter and crackers. The complex foods, in general, there's a whole bunch of nuances that we're skipping in this podcast. But in general, more complex foods have slower digestion rates, which equals a more steady release of energy in your blood system as your body's breaking that food down. This lowers cortisol stress between meals, and it lowers cravings at the end of the day. So simply by picking more complex foods at the beginning of the day, you can have better energy throughout the day, you can have less water retention throughout the day, and you can lessen cravings throughout the day. That might lead to overeating at night. Just simply eating chicken breast and rice versus peanut butter and crackers can do all of that. Also, the slower digestion has a higher thermic effect of food. What is thermic effect of food? That is how many calories we have to burn to get the calories from our food. So when we break food down, we're breaking it down into molecules of energy. How much energy does it take to get to those energies? So the more complex food you eat, the more your body has to work to break that food down. That means that you use more calories to digest your foods with complex foods than simple foods. This means you get to eat more. If you're burning more calories, that means you have less net overall calories from your meals. Therefore, you can eat more at your meals. So people who starve while they diet, it's because you're picking poor food selection. If you were to eat more complex foods, you can actually eat more overall food. Thermic effect of food has an estimation range of around 10% effect of our overall calories. So if you have a 2,000 calorie diet, if you pick the right foods, that can burn up to 200 calories worth of food. So now all of a sudden you can eat 2,200 calories rather than 2,000 calories to get the same effect. So I maximize this as much as I can because it helps the body's metabolism stay higher and more active. It also helps, since the food takes longer to digest, it's a greater water usage. So it keeps the skin drier, which gives people less water retention around their waist, and it gives them a drier aesthetic, a drier look. So also the benefit of being able to eat more calories is now people aren't so damn hungry when they're dieting. A lot of the choices that people make that are poor choices is because they're starving. They have cravings. Well, if we can get it to where you feel like you have to stuff your face full of food, and you're never going to get really hungry because we're keeping the cortisol down level down as well. So the number one complaint I have from people is not being able to eat all the food that I'm telling them. And they're shedding pounds of fat left and right, left and right. They're getting into competition shape. They've gotten pro cards. And the number one complaint they had was they didn't want to eat all of the food. So if you have a complaint of feeling starving, you're probably picking poor food choices. The more complex foods you select, the more full you can feel throughout the day. Now, this has been huge. Like I've had just this past week, I have a CrossFit trainer in Spain who started eating better complexity of foods and better timing of foods, and they're telling me within a single week how much better they feel. I have a personal trainer down in Texas, same thing. I switched around his food. He's eating more during the day, eating more complex foods, and he said already within under a week how much better he feels and how he looks. He said, I haven't lost weight, but I feel like I'm leaner. I feel more energy. So that's pretty freaking awesome. So you have a CrossFitter in Spain, CrossFit coach in Spain, you have a personal trainer down in Texas, and they're seeing these results in less than a week. So it's amazing, amazing, amazing how when you select the right foods and you get better timing of foods throughout your day, how much better you can feel. The reason why I use those examples is this is somebody who is already a CrossFit coach, somebody who's already a personal trainer, people who are already doing the basic things right. You add in these small nuances, and even to experienced high-level people, it makes a difference. That's pretty awesome. Now, there is ways in which you can mess this up. So we do want more complex foods, but we want the right digestion rates for what time of the day we are at. For example, fats are more complex than carbohydrates. Fats take longer to break down than carbohydrates do. But I damn sure should not have fats before I work out. If I have a meal, say 60 minutes or less, right before a workout, I should not have high amounts of fats in that meal. Fats take hours to break down for us to get the energy from them. So if you only have 30 minutes and you put fats in your face, you're going to feel horrible at the workout because your body hasn't been able to break it down and get any usable energy from it. Now, what if you're using fancy fats like medium chain triglycerides, MCT oil? Okay, congratulations. You found the loophole. So there are small little loopholes and all these little nuances. But in general, you should not eat fats before a workout. It's better to eat carbohydrates. And if it's right before a workout or even during a workout, it's better to have liquid sugars, which are the least complex food of all. But that's appropriate for the time you're at. So we want this complexity concept, but we also want it in context of the bigger picture. If I'm eating foods right around when I'm supposed to be highly active, I want to eat foods that digest quickly so I can use the energy. If I'm eating foods away from my highly active times, I want to have the most complex food possible. So this is a concept that every single listener can benefit from, whether you're a competitive client, or, you know, just a competitor, you don't have to be a client. But if you compete and you're a high-level athlete, this is something that 100% will make a difference for you. If you're somebody who's brand new to eating healthy, I guess, definitely not going to be new to eating, otherwise you won't be alive. But these concepts help a lot. Like I said, they give you more steady energy throughout the day. They lower cortisol, which lowers cravings. It also helps improve sleep quality, helps decrease water retention. There's a lot of benefits. Also just improves your mood. You feel less hangry during the day. So there's a lot of benefits to this. So what we want to do is pick foods that are more quote-unquote real, some more complex foods. Now, is there a big long list I could give you? Kind of, sort of, maybe, but not really. The difficult part is... there's a lot of comparison differences. So a chicken breast, for example, takes a couple different, like a whole egg, considering like there's fats in there. Let's look at just protein. I'm editing myself too much right now. But if we look at just egg whites, because it's pure protein, that digests very quickly. It's within like 20 minutes. Your body can start breaking that down and using it. I think it's under an hour. Whereas, like in chicken breast, takes like 4 to 5 hours. Now you start adding in like fat into the meats where you're getting like ground beef, like a fatty ground beef or like a steak, like sirloin steak. That can take 12 to 24 hours. So there's a lot of digestion rates that are different among different proteins. And this would be true of carbs and fats. In general, though, we want to pick more complex foods in the categories we want. So if I'm eating carbohydrates, should I have Pop-Tarts or potatoes? Potatoes are better. So it's kind of like going along with like quote-unquote common sense. Now, does it matter much if I go from like white rice to brown rice? Not in a large scale, but if you want to manage the micros, you can. So like wheat products are better than white products, assuming you can have wheat. There's a lot of variance on individual levels. So the takeaway I really want to give on this is eat solid food, eat whole food. Try to eat like real foods. If you're not a vegan, if you're not a vegetarian, eat meat. Eat some meat rather than protein powders and protein bars. And have more complex carbohydrates. Don't have crackers and like candy and shit. You know, if you're at a regular meal away from workouts, you want to have rice, potatoes, pasta. You know, things that are more complex that take longer to digest. Things that make you feel fuller. Now, if you have any questions, I will help you for free. Just send me the nutrition that you're eating now. If you have a question about, is this complex or is this like simple foods? Does this count as one versus the other? Just email me. My email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. That'll help me give individual answers because I can't do that on a large scale podcast. But if you take the time to answer me, I'll take the time to answer you. I promise I will. So I appreciate your investment into this podcast and I want to invest back into you. So take this concept and apply it the best you know how. Eat whole foods rather than liquid and fast foods. Eat whole foods. If you're not sure, look up, Google the digestion rate of the foods. That'll give you some context, and you can also email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. But this is something that I believe everybody would benefit from. Well, actually, I don't believe it. I know it. I know for a fact everyone would benefit from this. And it doesn't matter whether you're a beginner or advanced. This is something that everyone should include and consider when making nutritional choices. So hopefully this was fun. Hopefully it gave you a good overview of it. Like I said, in terms of like meal examples, I'm not going to be able to do the best in regards to broad scope comments on what meals are better than other meals. Just know that protein shakes and protein bars are not the best options. It's better to have some kind of meat and complex carbohydrate, but it's okay to have sugars around your workouts. We're looking for complexity of foods away from our high activity times. Okay? So give us a try. Think it through. If you have any questions, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I am always, always happy to help. I sincerely appreciate your support in listening to the podcast. And I want to make sure you, in turn, feel supported whenever you reach out and ask for help. Cool. Well, if you think today's podcast was helpful, click like on the podcast platform you're on. It helps our podcast be found better in searches. You can also share the podcast itself. You can share it on social media, email, text message, conversation with a friend. However you do, we sincerely appreciate it. The more people we can share the podcast with, the more people we can help. And then if you like the information that we present in our podcast, you can check out more for our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. Okay. Awesome. If you need anything at all, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com and check out our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Yeah. Okay. Well, as always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.